Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. So you may hear the sound of my puffy marshmallow jacket, which is kind of embarrassing to wear if you're in Los Angeles, because it's like 60 and we all come out with scarves and beanies and these puffy ski jackets. I'm also wearing shorts. Anyway, hey, before we talk about the three things that you should do, or more accurately, three ways to treat yourself better after a toxic relationship, I just wanted to mention to you our new podcast, Single on Purpose. And I say our because it's a collective. And what's awesome about this podcast is every week you have a different host/expert. So you get the full box of wellness crayons, not just the primary colors. And I've been having so much fun putting this together, and I really hope you enjoy it. So check it out, Single on Purpose. I'm sure there's a lot of podcasts with that title. This is the one that is based off my book, and it has a giant pair of headphones. So it's wide, so check that out. And you don't have to be single to listen to this. You can be in a relationship. It's all about connecting to yourself. Okay, the first thing that I think you can do to treat yourself better after a toxic relationship is start making decisions by asking yourself, how can I treat my nervous system better? And I say this because I think many of us don't drop into our bodies and think about how our previous relationships impacted our bodies and how, you know, the trauma is stored in our bodies. We just think logically, right? So we think, here's what I know I need to do. I need to, you know, I don't know, get back into the gym. I need to make more friends. We have a lot of logical to-dos, but we ignore our body. And I think if you've come out of something that has been toxic, chaotic, traumatic, there's a lot of healing that needs to be done to convince your body that you are safe. And no one's going to give you that except yourself. And I think this is where a lot of people make the mistake and they jump into another relationship and there's chemicals firing in their brain and their lenses are distorted. And of course, if that relationship goes south, now there's, you know, more layers to the, I don't know if the word is trauma, depending on the relationship, but there's just more layers to getting to the core, to homeostasis, to making your body feel safe. Also, many of us, and by many I mean most, I know this because I worked in nonprofit, and every kid that I treated pretty much grew up in an unhealthy space, you know. And then I also thought about my story, and I thought, you know, I just because I was never beaten or molested doesn't mean that my space was safe for me. My parents were always working, and I grew up in the 80s, raised by the neighborhood kids and pop culture. And, you know, I was part of the generation that came home when the streetlights came off, turned on, I mean, and then I would sneak out of my bedroom and stay out later. I don't think I should be alive. I mean, I was like 10 and roaming the streets at like midnight. And yeah, it wasn't safe. And so my parents were always gone. And so one can argue there wasn't any trauma in life, but I think just growing up in a space that wasn't safe, it literally wasn't safe, but also I didn't have that emotional milk from my parents, you know? And so I was just always out. And I wonder how much that impacted me, and I wonder how that's impacted my nervous system. So anyway, making decisions based on your nervous system, asking yourself, is this good for my nervous system? Whether we're talking about an experience, you know, if you're going to travel, or we're talking about a workout, or we're talking about a friendship, or we're talking about, you know, obviously intimate relationships, is it good for your nervous system? That would be number one. So going in through that door instead of just like logically, I need to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. Number two, I would say, ask yourself if whatever space that you're in, is it encouraging you to expand or constrict? Most of my life living in a panic state, sky is falling, how am I going to make money? You know, just a lot of chasing and panicked and, you know, pressing pause on life. That led to me being in a constricting space, right? And you could look at all the parts of your life, friendships, with family, if you're dating someone, your relationship with yourself, the things that you do, your gym, your weekends, just all the spaces that you enter throughout the day. Which spaces constrict you and why? And which spaces expand you? And how does that feel? So for me, riding a motorcycle a few times a week or daily expands me. It connects me to me. It allows me to hit flow states. It reminds me of my spinning on my head days in the 80s. And that's an expansive experience, right? Me being creative. So creating a space where I can write or make videos or do anything creative, that expands me. Even therapy sessions, working in a way that I feel like I'm playing in a sandbox and I'm being kind of a mad scientist, running workshops, all that stuff. Living life through that lens and giving myself permission to create is one of the things that expands me the most. So the opposite of that, punching a clock, working for, because I've done this before, working for treatment centers or facilities where I had to tuck in my shirt and use the generic interventions in the filing cabinet. All of that constricted me. And that's why I bounced. That's why I hopped the fence. And so that's really important to me. And that has to be threaded into my life. Also, movement expands me. Pushing myself as hard as I can in a workout. Obviously not hurting myself, but, you know, and you have to decide what that looks like for you, right? Maybe for you, it's the complete opposite. Maybe for you, it's going on a hike or doing yoga or doing something that's more, that's less aggro. That's less a muzzled greyhound racing around the track. Anything that has to do with flow states, whether we're talking about movement or creativity, expands me. Also, trying different foods, you know, different restaurants. For many people, travel expands them. My partner, Vanessa, that's like the top of her list. And it's not so much for me, so that wouldn't be my truth, but whatever expands you. What about a meaningful conversation with a friend? You ever walk away from coffee or, I guess these days, a Zoom call or FaceTime, and you just feel different, you feel connected, you feel like you've had some revelations, you feel less alone, right? All of those are expansive. And when you're expanding, you're living on a higher frequency. When you're constricting, that pushes you down into a lower frequency. And I believe that when we make an effort to live on a higher frequency, we're living closer to our potential, but we're also putting out energy that I think lines up stars. I think we are constantly attracting opportunities and the people that are supposed to come into our lives, and we are living on a plane where more things line up, where things kind of happen seamlessly, or they, you know, for me, a lot of the things that have happened in my life that I look back on and really have changed my life have been organic and seamless and I'm not saying that it doesn't require hard work, right? But almost like a universal, or from the universe unfolding, right? Bigger than me. And I always feel like that's how I know that that's a good move or a good project or a good relationship, is there's an effortlessness to it. Although, of course, everything takes effort, right? Doesn't matter what you're building, whether it's a relationship or your empire, everything requires effort. So make sure that you are putting yourself in spaces that are expanding you instead of constricting you. Even if it's like a group of friends that you do brunch with and all they do is talk shit about other people, you know, that's not expanding you. And you could definitely be the one that changes the temperature of the room before you decide that you don't want to hang out with these people anymore. And I do encourage that. The third thing is addressing, being mindful of listening to that 12-year-old, that 10-year-old. Think about the time in your life you felt the most alive. Think about the time in your life where you felt the most heard. Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe think about the time in your life in your childhood where you felt the most unsafe and you felt like you didn't give yourself a voice. Or maybe it's a time in your life where you had to grow up fast, right? So you put that part of you into a hope chest. And, you know, by 13, you were taking care of your siblings. Or I know for me, my brother, he's 2 years older than me. By the time he was like 14, he was reading all the mail. And, you know, because my parents didn't speak English well, they couldn't read. So he did a lot of adult stuff. And I get it. We had to survive, you know. My parents weren't intentionally trying to strip him of his childhood, but they kind of did. You know, he was forced to pull cable and go to work with my dad, do a lot of manual labor. At a very young age, he was forced into being responsible. And I got lucky because I climbed out the window and went skateboarding. You know, they only needed one child to be the umbrella. And of course, that's at least in the Korean culture, that's always the eldest child. And then the youngest gets to go out and play. But I know that did something to him. I know that that fucked him up in a way. You know, I know that that disconnected him to himself, you know, parts of himself. And so if you're coming out of a toxic relationship, addressing that part of yourself that maybe has been ignored, right? It's almost like you're reparenting a part of you that you haven't given much voice to. And so what does that look like? Well, ask yourself, and when I see yourself, I'm talking about that 12-year-old, that imagine that that younger version of you that either had to grow up fast or that you ignored. Ask her what she needs. And maybe she doesn't need to go to the gym. Maybe she needs a donut, right? And so give that person what she needs. Make her feel safe. Make her feel heard. Give that part of you attention. And what happens is, as you do that, you start to establish a better relationship with yourself. You start to practice compassion, empathy, connection, and you make up for a lot of, and for many, it's an entire childhood, you make up for a lot of time that you were split because you had to survive, that you, a lot of time that you ignored those parts of you. So this idea of having a better relationship with yourself and becoming more whole, you know, your evolution, I think requires this. I think it requires you connecting with parts of you that you have disconnected with. And I talk about this all the time. I talk about this when I'm teaching. I talk about this with my clients. And so ask yourself what that looks like. What does it look like for you in action to give yourself, give that 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old what she needs? So it means dropping into your body. It means listening to that person. It means making that person feel safe. And it means giving that person what they're asking for. If you do these three things putting your nervous system at the top of the list as far as how to design your day and what kind of environment you create for yourself, the decisions you make. Make sure you're expanding instead of constricting. So putting yourself in spaces that encourage that. And then finally, tapping into that, I guess they call it the inner child, but that part of you when you were younger that had to grow fast or wasn't given much, you know, something was taken from that kid, her voice, her whatever, her safety, maybe like her parents, I don't know, right? And because of that, that person was locked into a hope chest. So pulling that person out and connecting to that person, what does that look like? If you focus on these three things and you focus on them daily, not just something you do over the weekend, but kind of threaded into your life, this is what healing can look like, right? This is what I think is prescribed after coming out of anything that was unhealthy and toxic.
Hey, if you have a passion for helping others and you want to create a more meaningful career or add to your current skill set, it's time to become a life coach with Lumia. When I became a life coach many years ago, there wasn't anything like this. So I developed this program alongside with Noel Cordeau, Lumia Coach Training. And it's amazing. It's 100% live and online, meaningful, evidence-based education, real people, real community, ICF accredited to with 20 diverse instructors and a thriving alumni community. Go to theangrytherapist.com and click on Become a Coach and explore Lumia Coach Training. I'll see you in class.